Shmuel Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes. We learned before that Avner ben Ner, who had been the general of Shaul, made Ishbosheth the king. David had gone to Hebron, and he was the king over Bnei Yehuda, over Shevet Yehuda. Yoav was David's general. Yoav ben Tsruya had gone with a group of men, and he met Avner ben Ner, who was the general for Ishbosheth. The two of them met with their men by a pool. And at this point, Klal Yisrael had two kings. They hadn't officially recognized David was the king over Yehuda. Ishbosheth was the king over the rest of Klal Yisrael. And Avner said to Yoav, let the Na'arim, let the lads get up and fight it out, and we'll see. This will be like a sign, min ha-shamayim, which king should be the main, who should be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Let them get up, yisachak hulafaneinu, and have a duel or play with us. It's not clear exactly whether he intended, how serious of a battle he expected. Well, let them go and fight it out, and that will be a sign who should be the real leader over Klal Yisrael. The men grappled, they held each other's head, and they had their swords by their side, and one thing led to another. Vayiplu yachdov, they fell, and they were all killed. There were 12 men from Avner's side, from Binyamin. There were 12 men from Yoav's group, and they all fell, and they were all killed. And what happened was the battle, it wasn't decisive. Who won? Because they all lost. They all died. So it developed into a very difficult battle. It just spread, and everyone got involved. And Avner and his men were defeated. Yoav had two brothers. Yoav ben Tsruya had two brothers. There was Avishai and Asoel. Asoel was a quick runner. He was Kal Baraglav. He was light-footed, like a deer in the field. Pasuk Yutes. Vayirdof Asoel acharei Avner. Asoel pursued after Avner. Avner and his men had been defeated, and Avner's running away. Asoel took up the chase. V'lo notol aleches, and he didn't turn to go ala hayamin v'ala smol, not to the right, not to the left. Me'acharei Avner. He was heading straight for Avner. So it's clear that he was a rodef. As soon as we learned, Vayirdof Asoel acharei Avner, Asoel is chasing Avner. Avner is allowed to turn around and kill him. Certainly he's a rodef. Asoel is after Avner's life. And the pasuk stresses v'lo notol aleches, and it was very clear. It was specifically headed for Avner. He didn't turn to go to the right or the left. He was focused straight on Me'acharei Avner. He was going after Avner. It could be he felt that Avner himself deserved to be killed, because Avner was the whole cause for this split in Klal Yisrael. Artz David had been anointed. It was known that by now that Shmuel had anointed David to be the king. And David came to Hebron, and they made him the king over Yehuda. And it was Avner ben Ner, who had been Shaul's general, that took it on himself to see to it that Ishbosheth would become the king. And we learned before, he traveled around the country in Pasuk Tes. He went to Gilad and to Asher and Yisrael and Ephraim, Binyamin, and he consolidated all of the other Shevatim, all of the other tribes were under the kingship of Ishbosheth. So Avner was really the strength behind the throne. So he's the one who's causing the split in Klal Yisrael. And Asoel felt that Avner deserved to die because of that. He's a Moired in the Malchus of Beis David. He's rebelling against the Malchus of Beis David. And even if Avner wasn't to blame personally, we even learned Avner, I say these are, we're learning about the greatest people in Klal Yisrael. Avner had a drosha. We learned that Yaakov Avinu had been told, "Melachim mechalotzecha yetzeyu." They will still be born. He will still have a child that will produce kings. Meaning there will be kings from Binyamin, who is the only one not yet born. So one king was Shaul. The other king, Avner felt, would be Ishbosheth. Now the truth is, there were other kings that came from the drush of Melachim Michal Tzechi Yitzeu. There were other kings besides those from Malchus Beis David, especially when Malchus Yisrael split up later on, when he had the ten tribes were separate. But Avner ben Ner learned that this Melachim Michal Tzechi Yitzeu was the divine right of kings, that Hashem is saying that Ishbosheth must be anointed as king. But even if he was correct, he is causing, Shmuel said, David should be the king, and even if Avner himself were not going to hold personally to blame, but for the betterment of Klal Yisrael, he's causing a break against Malchus Beis David, and therefore Asola pursued Avner to kill him. Now we'll see. There's also a possibility, which Avner is going to address in a moment. Asura might be thinking that Avner is doing it. Well, let's wait a moment for this. So Asura is pursuing after Avner. Vayifen Avner Achrov, Avner turned to his back. Vayomer, and he said, Hatoza Asura, is that you, Asura? Vayomer Anochi, and he said, that's me, it's I. Or these were people who knew each other. In other words, he knew exactly who Asoel was. All of Klal Yisrael used to be united before this was just recently that there was this split between Ishbosheth and his men and David and his men. But he knew who Asoel was, and he said to him, is that you, Asoel? Vayomer Anochi, and he said, it's I. Vayomer lo Avner. So Avner said to him, Netei lecho al yemincho al smolecho. Turn for yourself to the right or to the left. Ve'choz lechon, grab for yourself, echad me'an ha'arim, one of the lads. Grab somebody else. Ve'kach lechos chalitzoso. And take his, chalitzoso can mean the shirt, all the Meforshim learn it means his weapon, or his weapons on his belt, but take his armament. It could be Asoel was pursuing Avner, and he wouldn't want to give up the chase. Because it would be a bad reflection on his weakness. In other words, he's pursuing Avner and then he gave it up. Avner intimidated him and Avner convinced him not to pursue him. So Avner gave him a face-saving idea. It doesn't have to look embarrassing. Everyone knows you're running after me, but if you turn and you make it look like you're running after somebody else, run after a minor soldier. Take off his weapons, so as if you wanted to show that you have the upper hand. Take off the weapons of some minor soldier, and that's it. The case will rest. Nobody has to know that you are heading for me specifically. Below Ovo Asoel, Asoel didn't want Losu Miachrov to turn from going after Avner. And Avner's expression was Netei Lecho, turn for yourself. Ve'choz Lecho, and grab for yourself. Bekach lecha, and take for yourself. In other words, he's focusing on Asoel. If Asoel was doing it because he felt it's too embarrassing to give up and to return empty-handed, this is an option. Go ahead and take somebody else's weapons and nobody will know that you let me go. By Yosef Od Avner, and Avner continued, Lamor to sail Asoel to Asoel. Sur lecha, turn for yourself, Miacharoi, from after me. Loma keko hartza, why should I strike you to the ground? If Avner is going to strike Asoel and kill him, Asoel will collapse right there on the ground. Ve'eche sofonai, how would I be able to lift my face, al yov achicha, to yov your brother? As again, they all knew each other, and right now there was a split in Klal Yisrael, but it wasn't like he necessarily envisioned that they were always going to be enemies, and they were all brothers, and they were all of Klal Yisrael was family. And here Avner is saying, how am I going to deal with Yoav, your brother? And as he didn't view it like Yoav's the enemy, and he's on the other, you know, Yoav's with David, and you know, these two armies will always be opposing each other. But no, I'm going to have to deal with Yoav, and how can I look at Yoav if I end up killing Asoel? It could also mean, v'eich esafonai, how could I show any favor to Yoav and let you go? If Asorel is pursuing Avner, Avner can't do any favors and he can't show any kindness and say, well, you know, I'm good friends with Yoav and this is his brother. Avner's life is in danger. So he turns to Asorel and he says, you better stop. Stop chasing after me because I can't show you any special favor. Not even in the Zechusa, your brother Yoav. And if I end up striking down Asorel, I won't be able to look your brother in the face. Stop. Vayimoyin losur. Asorel refused to turn aside. Earlier in Pasuk Chof Aleph, the word was v'lo ovo Asorel. Asorel didn't want. The word ovo, to want, is something that you want in your heart. And the truth is when initially Asorel was pursuing Avner and he was heading specifically for Avner and he didn't want to give up the chase. Now that Avner pointed out in Pasuk Chof Beis, that he's not just going to keep running, and Asorel will eventually catch him or hit him from the back or something, but Avner's telling him, you better immediately stop, or else I'm going to turn around and fight. In other words, this is the moment of decision. So now already, in his heart, Asorel really wanted to give it up. He wanted to give it up. But at this point, or initially, Avner just said, turn to the side and grab one of the Arim and take his weapon. So at that point, it's not yet embarrassing and could be, but at that point, he didn't want to give up the fight. Now that he's threatened, his own life is in danger. Loma keka artsa. In his heart, he wanted to give up. On the other hand, at this point, it's almost like a challenge. You better give up or else. So Asorel couldn't give up now. In other words, he had the challenge from Avner. If you don't pursue, Avner said he's going to turn around and kill Asorel. So Vayimoyin is, he refused, and as he verbalized, he said he's not turning aside. In his heart, he had his misgivings, but he persisted. Vayimoyin losur, he refused to turn aside. Vayakeyu Avner, Avner struck him v'achreyachanis with the back of the spear. It could be, one way of understanding it is Avner sort of slowed up or he let Asorel catch up with him. And then he like quickly hit him with the back of the spear. And the back of the spear possibly also had a point to it, but it wasn't the main blade. But he hit him from the back of the spear where Asorel was totally unprepared. He didn't even turn around. He sort of threw it backwards. He hit him with the back of the spear, El HaChomesh. But it hit him by the fifth rib. The fifth rib, as Rashi brings it down, is the place where the mora, the gallbladder, and the liver is connected. Some learn the heart is in that location. So he hit him. It was a fatal blow. But according to this, it wasn't. The din of a rodef is that a rodef is if it's possible to save the nirdof's life, if the one who's being pursued can be saved by just injuring the rodef. That is what has to be done. As if a guy can shoot the leg of the rodef and the rodef will be stopped, there's no heter to kill him if it's possible to stop him in any other way. But over here, he just hit him with the back of the spear, and it happens to be, in the haste, it happened to hit him by the chomesh, and Avner was such a powerful warrior, and again, it was not even the head of the spear, and still it went straight through him. And he fell right there. Asorel, who was the quick one, who we learned before in the previous year when they were standing grain, he was so quick he could run on top of the grain and just his force of momentum propelled him without sinking down on the thin stalks. But here he just fell right there in the place. He died right there. It could also be that in other words, it could either be that Avner had in mind, he just hit him without really planning. He hit him from the back of the spear. He slowed up and he threw the spear backwards and hit him. Or it could be, again, that he turned around and this was all part of his idea not to kill Asorel. So he hit him with the back of the spear that it should not be a fatal blow. But in the excitement and in the rush, it happened to hit him by the chomesh, by the fifth rib, and Asol was killed. By he kol aboel hamokom, and it was anyone who came to the place, asher nofel shom Asol, where Asol fell, vayomos, and he died. Anybody who came to that place, vayamodu, it stopped. It's like Lahavdil, you know, if there's an accident on the highway, the traffic on the other side gets backed up, everyone slows down. But here, somebody like Asorel, who was one of the great leaders of the family of Tsuruya, who was known as an outstanding fast warrior, and he died, it's just by a motor, everyone stopped. They were wondering, how could it be somebody like Asorel was killed? And there was also a bit of fear. Asorel was struck down. We'll see in a moment, he was one of the greatest fighters with Yoav. There was a certain fear. How can they continue the pursuit? And they stopped where they were. Vayirdefu Yoav Avishai Achrei Avner. Yoav and Avishai were the brothers. Again, there were three brothers, three sons of Tsuruya. There was Yoav and Avishai and Asael. And the din is, if somebody is killed, the first one to write the family's honor and the kavod and the one who has the mitzvah of Goel Hadam. In other words, even if somebody's killed by accident and he has to run to the Ari Miklot, the Goel Hadam is the one that is given the right to avenge or whatever, to kill the murderer, unless he goes to Ari Mikla. But it's always the Goel Hadom who's expected to... He's the one who feels the loss, and he's the one who feels the tragedy the most. He's the one to take the action. So everybody else stood where they were, Vayamodu. But Vayirdefu Yoav Avishai Achrei Avner. Yoav and Avishai pursued after Avner. V'ashemesh bo'o, the sun set. V'heimabo ad Givas Ho'ama. And they came to the place, Givas Ho'ama. During the day, when it was light, they really couldn't stop the battle, they couldn't stop the chase, nor is everyone in the day, the battle's going on. Once the sun sets, and it's dark, so people can hide, it's hard to find the people, and then already there's room to negotiate and discuss. There can be a voice in the dark, you know, let's make peace. It's people feel a little more secure because the enemy doesn't see them. So first of all, the sun set. Also they came to Givas as the high, the plateau. Amma, that was Pasha, the name of the Giva, the Givas Amma. But Amma could also mean there was a stream of water there. It's called an Amma. Asher al-Pnei Giach, which was right alongside a place, Giach. And some learn that Giach also means to like move. It's referring to a stream of water, a current. Derech Midbar Givon. And it was by the road that led to Midbar Givon. So there was a stream there. Could be they felt protected at nighttime. It's difficult to cross a body of water at night. They're protected in the dark. And at this point, Avner and his men, Avner is being pursued. They're going to try to work out a compromise and to end the conflict. And the Pasuk tells us exactly where this was. It was Givas Amma, near Giach, on the road to Midbar Givon. And some of Forshim point out, the lesson is that anybody coming to this place, it's a moment to take contemplation what Machloikis can lead to. It started out as a simple duel and a battle to see who's superior, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the upper hand to. And you see what happened. So many people were killed. So they came to this place. Derech Midbar Givon. Vayiskabsu v'nei binyomin achrei Avner. The b'nei binyomin gathered after Avner. Vayiu laguda echos. And they became one group of men. Vayamdu, and they stood al Rosh Giva Echos, on the top of one mountain, on the top of a Giva. As they were prepared to fight now. They were united. In other words, initially they had scattered. Yoav and his men defeated Avner. And now Avner was chased by the one person, Asoel, and he ended up turning around and killing Asoel. But his army had been in a rout. They were on the run. Now they regrouped. It was nighttime. Bayula Guda Echas, and they became one group. And they stood Arosh Giva Echas on the top of a mountain. So they had the high point, which is good for fighting when you have the heights. And also they were united. The Sifri brings down in V'zois HaBrocha on the Pasuk, Vayhi Bishurun Melech Bisasef Rosh Hayom Yachad Shivta Yisrael, the advantages of Klal Yisrael being united. It brings this Vayil Aguda Echas, they were one group. And one group, we'll see in a moment, Binyamin was one group and they wanted to make that group together with Yehuda. In other words, they were, let's end the conflict and let's be united. And it gives a mashal, it says like a king who has many boats out in the harbor. So he connects the boats, he drops an anchor for each one of the boats that they won't go anywhere, and he hammers the boats together so that they're stationary. And then on top of that, he builds a palace. Now, of course, this beautiful palace is floating on water. So, but if those boats ever separate, there goes the whole beautiful palace. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also Bona Bashamayim Alosov. He makes his upper stories, and the palace is like in Shamayim. But it's all based on Vagudoso Al Eretz Yisodo, that he has to have Klal Yisrael united as a group that down here. Then the Malchus Shamayim, then you can have the palace of the king, if we're united down here. So the Bnei Binyamin gathered together, they were Laguda Echos, and they stood Al Rosh Giva Echos. They stood on the top of the mountain. Vayikra Avner El Yoav. Avner called out to Yoav. Vayomer, and he said, Halonetzach Tochal Cherev. Is the sword going to consume and going to kill forever? Now, of course, this was probably just a few hours. It wasn't like a battle that had gone on, a war that went on for years. It was a few hours. But the feeling was that this whole thing was really unnecessary, and every minute of this was too much. Halonetzach tochal cherev. Is the sword gonna kill forever? Because if Yoav and Avishai are coming after Avner, because they're the Goel Hadom. Their brother was killed. And they're looking at it like their brother was killed needlessly. I don't even know if they're aware of the exact exchange that went on between Avner and Asoel, that Avner really had no choice. But they're coming after Avner as Goel Hadom, as the relatives, and they want to be the ones to right the death of their brother Asoel. If they're going to kill Avner, so Avner's family is going to come back after Yoav and Avishai. In other words, at some point, they just have to be willing to stop. Halonetzach tochal cherev. If they're going to kill Avner, so Avner's family is going to get retribution. Halo yodata. Don't you know? Ki mora siya bo'acharono. It's going to be bitter in the end. In other words, it's just going to cause for many more people to be killed. And even if down here it's not, but it's time to take a moment and think. If they don't stop chasing after Avner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Lama Mais, it's going to be bitter for anyone involved in this. And there's no right for this whole war. It's going to be bitter. Kimara Siyavu Achrona. And if down here on this world more people aren't killed, but if they come after Avner, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it. They're certainly not going to get schar for what's happening. It's going to be bitter. Vad mosai lo somar lo'om. Till when are you not going to tell the people lo shuv me'achrei acheihem to turn back from pursuing their brothers? Because we're all brothers. We're all Klal Yisrael. It's, he has a mixture here of almost pleading. It's a one pasuk, but he has everything in that one pasuk. On one hand, he's pleading with Yoav that it's not right to continue. Till when are you not going to tell the people to turn back from they're chasing after their brothers? And is the sword going to pursue forever? Halonetzach tochal cherev. And on the other hand, there's almost like a threat. Halo yodat, you know, kimora siyavachon, it's going to be bitter. it could be it's referring also to the fact that Avner is not going to let them kill him. In other words, the same way Avner turned around and killed Asael, so Yoav and Avishai are pursuing Avner, and Avner is together with his men. So what do they expect to happen? Or is the Kimara Siyabach Reina? They should know it's going to be bitter for them. If they don't stop, they can also get killed. So it's the good old stick and carrot approach. In other words, if you turn back, you realize it's good. In other words, it's not the right thing to pursue, and you're doing what's correct. And if not, Morasiya Bahraina, they themselves might find that they're killed. Vayomer Yoav. Yoav said, Chayu Elokim. I swear by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't use the word Chai Hashem. He used the word Elokim, that Midas Hadin, they realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had allowed this judgment and this punishment to happen to them. B'chayu Elokim, ki lulei dibarta. And there are different ways of understanding this. One way is as if we would say, ki lu, if you would have spoken, ki lulei dibarta, if you would have said what you just said now, ki ozmei haboker na loham. From the morning, the people would have gone up, ish me'achrei achiv. Everyone, instead of chasing his brother, the battle would have been over in the morning. Or it's Avner is the one who's saying, let's stop the battle. So Yoav says, yeah, if you would have said this earlier, we would have stopped earlier. In other words, Avner was the one who started the whole thing. Avner is the one who said, Yakumu noha na'arim bisachaku lefaneinu. Let the na'arim get up and battle it out. And we pointed out at that point, Yoav went along with it, but it's not clear that he thought that was the correct course of action. Just he was challenged and he accepted the challenge. Kilule dibarta, if you would have spoken this way earlier, so from the morning there wouldn't have been this conflict. Or kilule dibarta, had you not said what you said, kilule could also mean if you did not say it. Kilule dibarta, if you had not given the challenge, this battle never would have occurred. Another pshat is, but that wouldn't require a shavua. To say, Chai Elokim, I swear by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's history. That's saying if you didn't say it, or if you would have said earlier, it wouldn't have happened. What he's saying is, could be Chai Elokim, I swear, Kilule Dibart, if you didn't say what you said just now, Ki Ozmei HaBoker, from tomorrow morning, from the morning, the battle, everyone would have given up the chase, because they would have finished and destroyed everyone. And we're going to see in a moment, Yoav's army had a resounding victory. We'll see at the end of the perek how many people they killed from Binyamin. I give a shvua that if you didn't say what you just said right now, by the morning, the battle would have been over. Meaning everyone, Binyamin would have, even more people would have been killed. They would have gone up ish me'acharei achiv. Everyone would have given up the chase from going after his fellow Yid. Yoav doesn't mention now the fact that his brother was killed. And we're going to see later on that Yoav took avenged the death of Asael. And Yoav had this personal, well, we'll see exactly why he later on killed Avner. But at this point that he's encountering Avner with all of his men, he put aside his personal feelings, and he just said, okay, if you're calling off the battle will stop. Vayiska Yoav ba'shofar, Yoav blew the shofar, vayamdu kol ha'om, and all the people stood in their place, v'lo yirdefu od acharei Yisrael, and they would no longer chase after Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a trick. It wasn't like Yoav blew the shofar and they called a ceasefire and later on they attacked or something like that. But no, below year before Achra Yisrael, the battle was over. They didn't chase after any of the Yisrael who were running here and there. Below Yisvod lehilochim, and the group, the Aguda Echos that was together with Avner on the mountain, they didn't battle them either. They blew the shofar and the battle was over. Whatever personal cheshbonos we'll see later on, Yoav had to settle because of Asael's death, that was a private matter that he dealt with later. But the war he called off. The Meforshim point out the Gevuras HaNefesh of Yoav. Yoav was so he was so determined. In other words, they were chasing after Avner, and his heart was all inflamed and ready to kill Avner and his men, and then just he heard a rational argument that Kimor Tiyabachon will be bitter, and with the Halanetzach Tochal Cherev, he heard Avner's short pasuk, and immediately he gave up the chase. He accepted it and he just put it aside. And Chazal say he had Rachmonis on the Nefesh Bachura Yisrael. All the young Jewish soldiers shouldn't be killed. So even though he felt as strongly as he did, he calmed his anger just in order to save the life of the other soldiers. The Gemara says it says terrible things about anger. The Gemara, it's a Gemara Nedarim on Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis. It's elsewhere in Shas. It says Kol HaKoeis, even the Shechina is not choshev to him. You know, a guy gets angry and he doesn't care about anything. He just totally loses himself. He doesn't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says he forgets his learning and he becomes an even greater fool. If a guy gets angry, it's known that he has more Aveiros than he has Zechusim. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says in his Sichas Musar, a very interesting point. He says, anger, what Chazal say about the harmful effects of anger, is not even if a person is wrong for being angry. He says it's the natural outcome of anger. And he gives an example. The Medrash says, for instance, by Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu was angry, by Yitzhak Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was angry on Dosan and Aviram, saved over the mon for the next day. They were told everyone is not supposed to leave it over. And they did. And there's no question that Moshe Rabbeinu was right, nor they deserved the harshest rebuke. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nace for them and he gave them the mon. And he told them not to leave it over till the next day, and they left it over for the next day. I mean, what the testing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, that they got such a miracle, and they went clearly against what they were told to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. But Chazal say, because he got angry, he was supposed to tell Klai Yisrael of the Hilchas Shabbos, and he didn't tell them. He forgot to tell it to them at that point. There's another case by the Melchemes Midyan, when Klai Yisrael fought against Midyan. They went to war because Midyan had caused Klai Yisrael to sin in the incident with Baal Peor. And then they went to war against Midian, and then Moshe Rabbeinu asked, "Hachi Yisem Kol Nekeva, did you allow the women to remain alive?" And Moshe Rabbeinu was angry at them because the whole purpose of the war is that they had trapped the Jewish men into doing Aveira, and now he left them alive. So Moshe Rabbeinu was right for being angry at them. But it says he also forgot the halachas with the kelim, to treat the kelim, the utensils. So he says, even anger, when it's justified, when a person's right for being angry, but the natural effect of anger is it burns up his knowledge and his Yirah Shamayim, and it burns up his self-control. That's the effect that anger has, but the Chiddush is even when the anger is justified. It's something that has to... It's difficult, but especially when... In fact, sometimes a person's supposed to show anger, but he's not supposed to feel anger. And controlling one's anger is a very crucial part of Avodas Hashem. But here Yoav had that ability. He heard a rational argument. So he blew the shofar, and they stopped the battle. And it wasn't a trick. But no, v'lo yirdefu achrei Yisrael, v'lo yosfu od lihilochem. They were no longer, the chase is over, and they're not fighting. The battle's over. Va'avner va'anoshav. Avner and his men, holchu ba'arova, they went through the arova, through the flat land, kol halaylahu, that whole night. Va'yavru es ha'yarden, they crossed over the yarden, va'yelchu kol ha'bistron, and they traveled through the whole bistron. Rashi says that's the name of an area. Some of Farshim say bistron is like something that divides up a property. Like you have v'esatzipor lo vosor. Avram Avinu didn't split the bird. He didn't cut the bird into two parts. Bistron could be something that splits two areas. It's either a valley between two mountains, or maybe it's a stream, but they crossed over this area of the Bistron, which formed some type of natural divider. They came to Machanoyim, and now they could feel safe. It seems like Avner, even though Yoav blew the shofar, it's hard for Avner to know what's really in Yoav's heart, as he called off the war. But that night, they didn't waste any time. They didn't go to sleep in that area. They went the whole night until they got back to Machanoyim, which was the city where they had made Ishbosheth the king. As they got all the way back into home territory. And we'll see Yoav had the same type of fear. We'll see in a moment. So Avner and his men went back. V'Yoav shov me'achrei Avner. Yoav also turned back from following Avner. V'yikbotzes kol ha'om, and he gathered all his people. V'yipoktu me'avdei David. And there was missing from the avodim of David, from the servants of David, tisha asar ish, 19 men, v'asoil, and asoil. Asoil is listed separately. The truth is he was killed separately. But Chazal mentioned, it's Rashi brings down, Asoel was also a servant of David, but he is mentioned separately because he was shokul keneged kulam. His greatness, whether it's greatness in war or his giboyrim, he was equal to all the rest. And therefore very often the Pasuk mentions a general rule and singles out the most important thing. Rashi gives the examples like when Yoshua sent out the spies. He said, "Uruas ha'aretz, they should see the land, ve'es Yericho and Yericho." In general, see the land, but focus especially Yericho. Or it says, Shlomo loved Noshim Machrios, his many wives, ve'es bas Paro, and the daughter of Paro. He singled out that out of all of them, bas Paro was special. But so here also, there were 19 people that were killed. 19 were missing. Who were killed, Vasoil, including Asoil. Later on, at the end of Shmuel, it mentions all the Giboyrim and the leaders for David, and it says over there in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Dalid, it says over there, Asoil, the brother of Yoav Bashloshim, was among the 30, and it lists among the warriors that David HaMelech had. That even though Asoel was killed, this is at the very beginning. This is before David ruled over all of Klal Yisrael. But he went down in history as one of the Giboyrim of David. Va'avdei David, the servants of David, hikumi Binyamin, struck from Binyamin. Uva'anshe Avner, and with the men of Avner. Remember, it was mostly from Shevet Binyamin, but not totally. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, we had previously, it says, Vayinogef Avner va'anshe Yisrael ifnei avdei David. Avner and the men of Yisrael were struck before the servants of David. So here it was from Binyamin, va'anshe Avner, and then the men of Avner, shlosh meos v'shishim ish. 360 men, Mesu died. And the Mefarshim and the Malbim brings down, if you calculate, in other words, there were 12 men that from each side that were killed when they initially dueled, when they were initially struggling. That leaves you with another 7 in Asoel. But if you figure 7 men after the initial duel, 7 people were killed from Yoav's men. And from Binyamin, there were 360. I mean, it'd be 348. Again, you take off those 12. But it was like, for every man that Yoav lost, Avner lost 50. It was a victory that, as he says, lo nishma kamo. You don't hear of a victory like that. How could it be so few men? Every man of Yoav that was killed, Avner lost 50. Vayisu es asoil. They carried asoil. Vayikberu bekever aviv, and they buried him in the kever of his father and the family plot. Asher Beis Lechem, that was in Beis Lechem. Vayelchu kol halayla, and then they went the whole night. Yoav ha'anoshav, Yoav and his men, vayeor lahem b'chevron, and it became light for them in Chevron. When they finally made their way into Chevron as the day was beginning. First of all, you see they buried Asoel at night. It was a din of losoli nivloso, that a person who dies should not be left overnight. Ki kover sikbarenu bayomahu, he should be buried that day, unless it's being done for the honor of the nifter. Sometimes the levaya is pushed off so that people have a chance to come. But otherwise, a person should be buried that night. Even though, again, they also traveled the whole night. They stopped off in Beis Lechem and they buried him, but they didn't stop till they got to Hebron. Could be they figured that Avner is afraid of them, which indeed Avner was, and Avner went all the way back to his place, but they didn't know that Avner was going all the way back. Everyone was distrustful of the other. They didn't know maybe Avner will come after them, figuring that they would be after him. They buried Asol that night, and then they went straight back to Hebron, Vayeyar Lahem b'Hebron, and it became light for them in Hebron. It's almost like a remez, like a sign that now is going to shine the light of David HaMelech and Mashiach. It's all going to, Malchus Beis David is going to be on the rise. Perek Gimel. Ratzihia Milchama Aruka. The battle was a long battle, Bein Beis Shaul Bein Beis David, between the house of Shaul and the house of David. It doesn't say that there was any blood spilled. And we look, and we had just had before, in Pasuk Chof Ches, it says, V'lo yirdufu od acharei Yisrael, they would not chase after Yisrael, V'lo yosfu od lilochem, they did not continue to battle. It seems to be in the future, there was no war afterwards between Yoav and Avner. It could be this Milchama Aruka, the Mephorshim say, it could be there was a battle of words or a battle of propaganda and the PR. The question is, which house is going to take the monarchy over Klal Yisrael? The house of Ishbosheth from Shaul's family? Or is it going to be the house of David HaMelech? And there was this constant struggle, Bein Beis Shaul and Bein Beis David, between the household of Shaul and the household of David, who is going to be the leader over Klal Yisrael? But it doesn't say that any blood was shed. And we don't find anywhere that the goyim that surrounded Klal Yisrael came and attacked. Could be they realized whatever struggle and whatever friction there was, but if any outsider would attack Klal Yisrael, would band together and go on and defend themselves. But the struggle was Bein Beis Shaul and Bein Beis David. Again, it doesn't seem that Ishbosheth himself, or David himself, was necessarily involved in this battle, in this struggle. The household of Shaul and the household of David were struggling who's going to be the leader. The David holech v'chazek. David was constantly going and getting stronger. Uveshol holchim v'dalim, in the house of Shaul is becoming weaker. Which is a chiddush, because Shaul had the majority of Klal Yisrael was with Ishbosheth. As the house of Shaul had the bulk of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech only had Shevet Yehuda. And this is going on a long time, right? Tehim Melchama Aruka, it's going on for a long time. So he would have assumed over a long course of time, the minority would sort of disappear, and the majority ruler would take over. But that's not what happened. David was going in Holech V'chozek, and Shaul's house was becoming weaker. And Chazal say this is, Mephorshim point out this could be in Ruchnius and in Gashmius. At this point, David HaMelech was producing his Tehillim, which, I mean, he was doing this previously also. But David was being mashpi on the people with his Sefer Tehillim, to stress becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Dveikus, and Avodas Hashem. And in Gashmius, in Divrei Hayomim it mentions, he appointed people in charge of, he set up a central government. He had people in charge of the flock, and he had the Department of Agriculture, the people in charge of working the land, it says. And we'll have later on, he set up Mishpat Utztaka, there was justice and there was righteousness. David was assuming the role of a leader over Klal Yisrael, and it was clear that he was having Hatzlacha, and the household of Shaul was going down. Vayivoldu leDavid. It's written Vayoldu. It's as if they gave birth, and we'll see in a moment, like his wives gave birth to these sons. And we'll see a lot of the sons took over after their mother. If the mother was good, they were good, and if not, not. But we read of Vayivoldu, it was born. Vayivoldu leDavid bonim b'chevron. sons were born to David in Hebron. Vayi b'choro Amnon, his b'chor was Amnon, l'achinoam ha-Yisraelis. To Achinoam ha-Yisraelis. That was his first child. Umishneyu, and the second child David had, was Kilov. L'avigayel eshes Novel ha-Karmeli. To Avigayel, who was the wife of Novel ha-Karmeli. Now, Poshup Shad, it could be we know that David had a sister, Avigayel. It's to tell you which Avigayel. It's the Avigayel who used to be the wife of Novel ha-Karmeli. We had that incident in Shmuel Aleph where David requested that Novel should send food for the Na'arim, and he scorned them and disgraced them. And in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck Novel dead. David didn't do anything to him. Avigayel came and pleaded for Novel's life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Novel. Avigayel, we're talking about, is the one who was the wife of Novel HaKarmeli. What's interesting is the Gemara says in Brochus, this Kilov in Divrei Hayomim is called Daniel. So it's in Divrei Hayomim, it says Avigayel gave birth to a son, to David HaMelech, and the son was Daniel. Now, Akubi was called Daniel as if to say Don Kale, that Hashem judged. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged that Novel was wrong and Hashem killed Novel, and now David took Avigayel as a wife, and it was all with a hashkoch from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this child was now born, so he was named Daniel. Here, though, he's called Kilov. And Chazal say that there were the Leitzonim, the Leitzonei Hador, the mockers, said, oh, the child is really, the father of this child is from Novel. The father is not David. In other words, Avigayel used to be married to Novel. Later on in time, she gave birth to this child. This child, it really is from Novel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that the child had the same facial appearance like David. As if to read, call of, he's like completely from the father. Or as he's completely like David, Kilov, that he resembled David. And although it was obviously David would have waited 3 months before marrying Avigayel, it should be very clear who the father is. But it doesn't take much, especially as time goes on, people can rewrite history and can adjust things. And like Sonny Ador said, no, it really is from Novel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that his name was, that he appeared like David, and he's called Kilov. The Gemara says in Brochus that David HaMelech had the son Kilov because he was machlim pnei mefivoshes b'halacha. He became so great in halacha. David had a Rebbe mefivoshes who taught him Torah, and occasionally they had disagreements. And Kilov had a logic and reasoning, and he had proofs to show that David was right, and he embarrassed Kilov, a Mephibosheth. In other words, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Kilov. And the Gemara says in Brachas on Daf Dalet, when Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishle, he says a pasuk, "Bini, my son, im chocham libecha, if your heart is wise, yismach libi gamoni, I'll have a simcha." That pasuk is referring to the way David felt about Kilov. There's another pasuk, Chacham b'ni, my son, be wise, v'samach libi, and give joy to my heart, v'ashiva chorfi dovral, and I'll have what to respond to those that disgrace me, those that make fun of me. It's also going on Kilo. It's interesting, there isn't, you know, we all, when you think of David HaMelech's children, of course we think of Shlomo HaMelech, but Kilo was exceptional. The Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Yud Zayin lists him among the tzaddikim who died without averus. They died because the Nachash persuaded Adam Rishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and from that point on, everyone has to die, whether they have an avera or they don't. So this Kilov was an exceptional tzaddik. That's an understatement, but the Kilov was Umishneyu Kilov. The second son of David was Kilov, Lavigayel Eshes Novel HaKarmeli. Bashlishi Avshalom ben Macha. The third one was Avshalom, the son of Macha. That was his mother. His mother was Macha. Bas Talmai Melech Kishur, who was the daughter of the king Talmai. In one of the wars, David took her as a Yifas Torah. There's the whole Parsha in Kisetze where there's a person is allowed to take if there's other women with on the enemy's side in the heat of battle, he's allowed to take a Yifas Torah. David took this Talmai, the Macha, the daughter of Talmai. And you see again, the kings would make their own daughters Hefker. In other words, they would send out their own daughters to the battlefront. They're not caring, you know, like the antithesis of any feeling of morality or dignity or whatever. The king sent his daughter out to the battlefront. But anyways, she was taken by David, and Chazal learned out from there, the Parshas in Kisetze, the order that if a person marries, it starts off, if he marries the Yifas Tohar, the next Parsha is the Parsha of somebody has a Ben Sorer Umorah, a son that rebels. And indeed, Avshalom ended up rebelling against David HaMelech, which we'll be learning about in Yirtz Hashem later in Shmuel. Baharvi, the fourth son, was Adoniyah ben Chagis. Adoniyah, the son of Chagis. He also made himself king in David HaMelech's lifetime. Or he said he'll rule after David. Well, that's the very beginning of Sefer Malachim discusses that. Vahachamishi Shefatya ben Avital. And the fifth wife, or the fifth son that David had was Shefatya ben Avital. And interestingly, the Rambam lists, when he lists the whole chain of the Mesorah, he says from Shefatya ben Avital came out Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the one who wrote the Mishnah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh comes from David HaMelech. He comes from the line of Shefatya ben Avital. Vashishi Yisram, the sixth son was Yisram, Le'egla Ishas David. He was born to Egla, the wife of David. Now, we didn't learn anywhere about Egla. We didn't hear about this wife before. And as Rashi brings down, Egla is Michal, the wife that David HaMelech had initially, the daughter of Shaul. That wife was especially dear to David. He was married, these were all of his wives, but she's known as Egla Ashes David. She's like, she is the wife of David. And he called her Egla as a term of endearment. As Egla means a calf, but she was Chaviv to David, and therefore he called her Egla. She was special. She saved his life. It was his first wife. So it was a special bond. It was the first wife David had was Michal, and she's the one who saved his life. And even though it's going to say later on that Michal didn't have any children, Ad Yom Mosa, till the day of her death, it could be this was born earlier. And Chazal actually, the correct shot is Yisra'el was born on the day of her death. And she had no children till the day of her death, which is when Yisra'el was born. But Eila Yuldu le David beChevron, these children were born to David in Chevron. Also, she's mentioned at Ashes David. We mentioned that Shaul took Michal and gave her to Palti ben Laish. And we're going to talk about that again a little later in Shmuel. But Michal was taken and given to Palti ben Laish. The Navi stresses Ashes David. It was the wife of David, because Palti didn't even touch her. And we're gonna learn more about this incident with Palti later. But she remained the wife of David, and there was no connection with Palti ben Laish, even though Shaul gave her to him in marriage. Vayhi b'yos ha-melchama, and it was when there was this war, bein beis Shaul uvein beis David, between the house of Shaul and the house of David. Avner was strengthening his position in the house of Shaul. We learned before that Ishbosheth was the king for 2 years, and David was the king for 7 years in Hebron. And the question was, what happened to the missing 5 years? Some Mefarshim learned that the first 2 years Ishbosheth was the king, and those were the first 2 years that David was the king in Hebron. After this battle, where Avner and his men were defeated, Ishbosheth's men were defeated, the house of Shaul was holchim v'dalim, they were coming weaker and more powerless. The one who had strength in the household of Ishbosheth was Avner. Avner was Mischazik Beveh Shol. But at this point, it's not even counted like Ishbosheth was the king. He was king for 2 years. It's almost as if 5 years there was no king, because he wasn't the leader. Ishbosheth himself was, he did not go to war. Like we had Shol and his men were killed in battle, and his three sons. Ishbosheth wasn't there. He wasn't a fighter. Avner was the one who was the general, and Avner did everything. And we'll see, he's the one who made Ishbosheth what he was, but he's not even counted as a king these years. Well, the Shol Pilegish, Shol had a Pilegish. Ushma Ritzpa Vas Ayah. Her name was Ritzpa, the daughter of Ayah. Vayomer al Avner. Now, this was not a regular wife of Shol. The law is that the wife of a king is usher to marry anybody else. Ein noisim al menosu shel melech. You're not allowed to marry the almona of a king. In fact, you're not allowed to use anything that was the king's. You're not allowed to ein mishtamshim b'sharvito shel melech. You're not allowed to use the king's scepter, his stick, his personal items were not allowed to be used. Ritzpa Bas Ayah was not a regular wife. She was a pilegish. So there's no problem of marrying the king's almona because she wasn't a regular wife. On the other hand, she was the pilegish. She served. She was designated for Shol. So for somebody else to take her is like using the king's personal items. And even though Shol was killed already, Shol was killed, she was usher to marry other people. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.